Hi friend, welcome back to the show. Do you feel like your brain will never fully shut off? I'm raising my hand right along with you because I've been there and I'm still there some days in all transparency. In today's episode, I'm going to walk you through 3 steps to help you unplug and truly rest better, why it's so important, how to ease into this with small steps that will actually create lasting change, and how to rest as a mom who is constantly needed. We're going to be diving deep here so that you can really begin to build rhythms of rest into your days to truly feel recharged and filled up heading into your next busy day balancing mom life, home life, and maybe even a business on the side as well. I can't wait to get into it. Hi friend, welcome back to the Simple Rhythms for Busy Moms podcast, where you can reset the daily chaos with intentional systems and boundaries, simple living solutions to slow down, and growing your identity in Christ, not your to-do list. Are you tired of feeling like you're simply surviving until bedtime day after day? If you feel constantly overwhelmed and can never get it all done while trying to balance motherhood, homemaking, and business, you're in the right place. I'll provide you with simple systems to embrace your season of motherhood and find freedom reclaiming your time and habits as a busy stay-at-home mom. Even if that means occasionally sneaking off to hide in the bathroom as a full-grown woman just to get a few minutes to breathe. Hi, I'm Cayenne, and as a mom in the trenches of the little years right now, and also a mom who has walked through chronic burnout and overwhelm trying to do it all, it's my mission to equip you to find peace and productivity in your days. If you're here for messy buns all day, continually being refined by motherhood, and learning to simply start right where you are, I'm so glad you're here. Grab your iced coffee, plug in your solo AirPod just in case the baby needs you, and let's find your rhythm, friend. Hi friend, really quick before we get into today's episode, I know that you've been struggling and finding your balance as a stay-at-home mom. You want to have routine in your days, systems to get done what needs to get done so you can stay caught up on the mountains of laundry, have clean dishes when you actually need them, and stay on top of meal planning and preparing meals for your family to sit down together. And you want to find those homemaking systems to get more done while still being present with your family and making sure to carve out that quality time investing in the people that matter most to you. And you know you need the steps laid out in a super simple way so you don't feel overwhelmed and paralyzed on where to even start. Trust me, I get it because I've been in your exact shoes, and that is exactly why I created my course, the Simple Rhythms for Busy Moms course. This course is going to take you through exactly how to create flexible routine in your days as a stay-at-home mom so that you don't feel tied to rigid routines and schedules, how to figure out your priorities so you can keep them in the right order throughout your days, and set up the systems you need for meal planning, laundry, cleaning, one-on-one time with your kids, and so much more. Having the systems to help your life flow on autopilot so that you can show up more for the people you love most is priceless. This investment is truly going to be life-changing in how you show up in motherhood. I can't wait to see you in there. Head to the link in the description below to grab your spot today. All right, as we are getting into this conversation about rest, I know that you feel like you've been burning the candle at both ends lately, and you're tired. You know that something's out of whack because it feels like your brain can just never fully shut off, but you honestly just don't even know where to start on changing that. You know that God designed rest for a reason, but somehow, week after week, the time you set aside to rest just seems to sort of disappear, and you're left on Sunday evening wondering how you are ever going to get the energy to make it through another week. I've been there, and that chronic overwhelm and exhaustion can honestly be paralyzing. I'm going to share 3 small steps that will make a big impact in your days to help you unplug, reset, and just let your brain breathe. I don't even know if brains can breathe, but regardless, you need the rest however you can get it, so we're just gonna move right along here. I'm so excited for this one. I created today's episode because when I realized a few years back that rest had pretty much been moved to a permanent last place on my priority list for almost a decade, yes, that was not a mistake, I really did just say a decade, so trust me, whatever your story is, you are welcome here. I am not perfect, and there is so much grace to move forward no matter how far you've gotten from your priorities for your life overall. I just wanted to mention that briefly because there is space here for you. But back to what I was saying. When I realized this and my eyes were open to the glaring, desperate need for rest and slowing down in my life, guys, I'm not kidding, when every part of my life literally was like screaming that at me and I truly had no idea for so long. I really struggled in the beginning to know where to even start. It felt completely unnatural to rest. I felt like I was almost fighting myself, even though I desperately wanted to rest because I was exhausted, figuring out how to actually rest without just falling asleep. I'm not talking about just physical sleep here. I'm talking about setting aside regular time to relax, reset, recharge. All of that really felt like learning a foreign language that I had never been given any resources to learn. I found myself scrolling social media and my phone for hours accidentally when I first started trying to find rhythms of rest in my life because I literally just didn't even know what to do. It felt so unnatural. I had lived my life for so long just crossing things off my to-do list and thinking about the next thing that I needed to accomplish that setting aside time to actually just have space to rest and just be felt completely foreign. I would think I was resting, and I'm using air quotes here, I know you can't see me, but I would think I was resting and then look up hours later and realize that I had just spent hours scrolling on my phone because I didn't know how to spend my time. So I just picked my phone up and started scrolling thinking that I was resting, and I would realize afterwards that I felt just as pent up, stressed out, and overwhelmed as when I started, if not more. My brain was just really going 24/7, and figuring out how to slow down enough to retrain my brain that we didn't have to live in constant fight or flight mode, that rest was made for a purpose and it was truly a gift to embrace, not just fight, kicking, and screaming, all of that was such a process. I have come a long way, and there are so many facets to this conversation that I can't wait to continue to dive into deeper with you guys and even bring on some experts that can speak to some of these things and really deep dive into some of these topics that I know will bring so much encouragement and guidance for you. I'm super excited for that. But for today, I want to give you a place to start, a lifeboat to grab if you feel like you're drowning. I listened to a podcast the other day, Real Talk by Rachel Autry. If you guys have not listened to it, you definitely should go check it out. Just a little shameless plug because it's one of my favorite podcasts. But she mentioned in one of the episodes that often when you're drowning, you don't even realize that you're drowning until you're already in the water. Like you're kicking, you're flailing, you're drowning. You're actively in the water, drowning and feeling like you're about to slip under the water completely, and you're frantically looking around for a lifeboat. But often we don't realize before we get to that point that we're drowning. We think we're doing fine and we keep telling ourselves it's fine, you know, this is just a hard season, it's just life, all of these different things, but things keep piling up and all of a sudden we are in the water and we're drowning and we desperately need a lifeboat. And so this episode is a place to start. If you can feel things just getting a little more overwhelming, a little chaotic, where it feels like you're not just overwhelmed occasionally, because overwhelm is going to happen. Like, I am not here to say that I'm going to eliminate overwhelm in your life. Overwhelm is a very normal part of life, but I don't think it's normal to feel like chronic overwhelm, where every day you wake up and you're just getting to this point of overwhelm where you feel like you don't even know if you can manage your life well, where it just feels like everything is just piling on top of you and you feel really heavy. It feels like you don't even enjoy all of the same things that you used to enjoy, and it really just feels like you're trying to get through each day and make it to the next one continually, like on repeat again and again. So this episode, I want to be a lifeboat for you. Rest is so important. I truly believe that we were made to both work and to rest, and the work side of me tends to flow very naturally. Like, I naturally love to work. I naturally love to start new projects, invest myself in the different work things that I'm doing. I don't have a problem getting up the motivation to get work done most of the time. Like, this is something that comes very naturally. In fact, I have to, on the flip side, really, really work to enforce myself to stop working, because I can easily work a lot more and a lot longer than I want to without even realizing it, because it is something that just is built into me that I truly love. And I do think that's a gift in a lot of ways, but I also think there's pros and cons to everything. And on the flip side of that, rest is also something that we are meant to experience in our life. And I don't think that we're meant to just go throughout life constantly thinking about everything that has to get done and constantly tied to all of the expectations and everything that we have on us. The Lord created 7 days, and he created a day for rest in every single week. That was not on accident. He did this on purpose, and he knew that many of us would struggle with the idea of rest, that we would just try to work and work and work and work ourselves into the ground. And, you know, the Bible says specifically in Mark 2:27, it says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." I think that's something I've really realized in recent years, is that rest is actually a gift that God truly created for us. And when we're not accepting that gift, we're withholding some of those blessings that God designed for us to have. Like, we're going outside of the plan that he created for us by not accepting that rest. We are made to both rest and work, and there has to be a balance of that. So the first step that I want to talk about today is actually implementing a Sabbath, starting to implement a Sabbath in your life. And this is something that I have never done before. This could be a much longer conversation, and we could have an entire episode just dedicated on Sabbath, and maybe we will in the future. But For now, I'll say this, that I had never implemented a Sabbath ever in my entire life, and I started hearing more and more people talking about what a blessing it was and what that could look like or what that did look like for their family and their life to set aside a day for rest where they did not work, and they were very intentional to embrace rest and to embrace, you know, family time together, carving out time to worship the Lord, all of those kind of things. And at first, I'll admit, like, it sounded pretty out there to me because I wasn't raised having a Sabbath every day or every week. I was raised in a Christian home, but we never really specifically talked about setting aside a day for Sabbath. And I think most people in modern day America, I would say the vast majority of even Christians, are not used to setting aside a Sabbath. I think often we think that this is something that maybe was intended for like Old Testament times and we don't need to do that anymore. And just all of these things. And the Lord really started working on my heart in that area. And it has been a gradual process, and I'm not perfect at this. And also, I have so many more things that I want to implement and learn and just continue to grow in. But a while back, I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed because I knew that I had gotten to a place where I saw the need for Sabbath and I wanted to start setting aside a day for rest. But I also was like, there are so many ways to do this. There are so many families that are doing this so well. They have all these routines and rhythms for Sabbath that they have perfectly planned out, and I don't even know where to start. Like, I feel like I can't start for like a year because I have little kids and I don't even know exactly what I want to be included in this or what should be included in this. And I just took a step back and I was like, you know what, we're just gonna start right now, and it might be messy and it might not look exactly like we want it to look, but let's just start with carving out a day for rest. Let's not get too legalistic about this and thinking that we have to include this, that, and the other. Let's just start really slow. And so what we personally started with was just setting aside one specific day. So we looked through our week and found a day that we could all set aside that time for Sabbath. So if you work at a church or you work in ministry and you're working often on Sundays, that's typically the normal day for Sabbath. But if that doesn't work for your family, just choose another day. For us, we chose Saturdays because that just worked a lot easier for our schedule and for our family. And we started deciding that from Friday night, because typically if you go back to Old Testament times, this is a whole conversation, but typically Sabbath would start actually at sundown the evening before, and we really just enjoyed that. And so we decided that we're going to start our Sabbath Friday evenings when Matt gets home from work, and it would go until Saturday evening, so a full 24 hours. And I'll talk through in a few seconds kind of like my top recommendations on this, but before we get into that, I really want to share some of how I got to this mindset of thinking that Sabbath was so important. I read a book recently, well, it was a few months ago now, Holy Hygge by Jamie Erickson. It is one of the best books that I've ever read. I absolutely highly recommend it. It has really impacted my life in a lot of different ways, but she talks about Sabbath in there. And there's a quote that I want to share really quick with you that I think really sets the stage for why rest is so important and puts to words why it's so important to release our schedule and really prioritize rest as a blessing from the Lord. Okay, so here's the section that I wanted to read to you really quick. For years, I understood why I needed to release my schedule and rest, but had no working knowledge of how to do it. Like Eve, I pridefully assumed I could take on the world, do it all, be as God. Granted, I would never have said those words out loud, but my actions said what my lips wouldn't voice. I was an efficiency addict, chasing the high of a completed checklist. My busyness started out as a brush fire, but eventually grew into a raging inferno. How could I continue to be a good wife, mother, friend, and neighbor when I was so tired? How could I share the love of Christ with others when my soul felt so malnourished? What I didn't realize is that the idea of "you are what you eat" applies to both physical and spiritual appetites. In my refusal to rest, to lay aside my work in order to worship the Lord, I was starving my soul. All my worst moments, when I was parched, brittle, and looked the least like Christ to others, happened when I was too busy, when I had packed my schedule so tightly that I spent my week rushing instead of truly resting. But the truth is, resting in Christ is not a distraction from the big work of the kingdom. It is the work of the kingdom. Among all the spiritual disciplines mentioned in Scripture, rest is the only one consecrated holy. It's time set aside to the Lord, as is mentioned in Exodus 16:23. It's a time of worship. To begin, remember that rest is not a suggestion. It is a command. As with financial offerings, Sabbath rest should be given from the first fruits, the best of your time. Sabbath is intentional. It's not time that is taken from you. You're to relinquish it freely. I appreciate author Carrie Wyatt Kent's explanation of planned rest. Pausing is not the same as collapsing. Some people say, I'll do all my pausing at the end of the day after the kids are in bed. That's not hitting the brakes, that's running out of gas. Both get you stopped, but only one is intentional, and only one will help you feel more rested and peaceful. If you've been going in the fast lane for too long, you have to slow down slowly. You have to apply the brakes properly, otherwise you'll just end up with whiplash. The truth is, coming to a hard stop is like putting a band-aid over a bullet hole. So I wanted to include that last quote as well, because I think so many of us are so all or nothing that it's like, we're either not going to do Sabbath at all, or we're going to jump in the other side and we're going to decide that we are going to do Sabbath, and you're going to be kind of like I want it to be, where you want to have all the routines and rhythms perfectly outlined before you ever even start. You want to know exactly, obviously, why Sabbath was created, what it's for, how you should spend it, how you should spend every minute of that time, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, like have the whole plan outlined for you. And I want to encourage you that this can be a process that you work through with the Lord. This can be something that you continually seek His wisdom on. You can continually study the Bible on what you should or shouldn't include during this time, and you can start really slow. For us, we started with just setting aside a specific day and knowing that we weren't going to prioritize work in that time. So we were going to set aside work completely during those 24 hours. We were going to prioritize not being on our phone a lot. And we were also going to prioritize connected family time. So we wanted that to include some Bible time at some point, either worshiping together, reading a Bible story, something like that. And that's something we really want to continue to evolve in, exactly how we want to spend that time. But I think just setting aside the day and giving that to the Lord, laying that at the feet of Jesus and being like, okay, here we are. We want to accept this blessing. We want to accept this gift. We're not going to be perfect at this. We're going to be fumbling through this. We still have a lot of little kids that need a lot of things, but we want to start. And I think just starting with that place of surrender and that place of choosing to know that you could keep going. You could keep running and running and running and trying to accomplish everything, but you are being intentional to slow down and give that time to the Lord for Him to fill as He wants it, and carving out that margin and that space in your life. I think having that heart posture, the Lord is going to take that and multiply that and bring so much fruit through that. And it's going to be such a blessing for you, for your family, and for all the other people around you who see that impact on what it is doing for you. This rest is a gift. Rest is a gift and a blessing, and all we have to do is accept it. So again, I feel a little inadequate here because I know that there's so much more that I would like to do with our Sabbath. And I also think that I feel the Lord nudging me to share about this. And even though I don't do it perfectly, who does do it perfectly? Literally no one on this side of heaven. We know that for a very fact. So I'm just going to show up imperfectly with what we're doing and kind of share what our experience has been. But I did want to share just a few really quick things. Like I said, we can have a whole episode on Sabbath if that's helpful, and the things that I've learned and just different recommendations that I would like to include and some of the biblical history of it, all of that kind of thing. I think that would be really fun to do. But for now, as I said, pick one day to start with. I really, really recommend another thing is to get social media off your phone the whole time. We're going to talk more about that, but I think if you can just delete it off your phone for those 24 hours, even set aside like texting people and things like that, aside from like if someone texts you and actually needs something, obviously you can respond to that, but kind of like carving out some time to just really be present with your family, I think is really, really helpful. Keep your phone away. Like if you're going to go do a family activity, make sure that both you and your spouse have your phone put away. Try to talk to them, get on the same page, just have it put away so that you're not both so distracted by everything else that's going on that you're not even feeling that rest or giving yourself that opportunity to rest. And then the last thing is to set aside work completely during that time. So if you are self-employed and you have that ability to just shut it off versus obviously a job where you just walk away and it's already shut off completely for the weekend or whatever anyways. If you are self-employed, I try to put specific boundaries in place. Like I said, I think it is more important with social media for me because a lot of my work can be on social media or can be connected to social media. So I get social media off of my phone. I don't check my email. Like I get all of the notifications off so that I'm not checking them and I'm not working on any specific work projects during that time either. And then the last little tip is to plan a fun family activity. So this is something that we do. Again, I will outline all of this. I feel like I'm getting lengthy on just the Sabbath part of this, so I don't want this to be too long, but set aside some specific time to go do something as a family, even if it's just going for a walk, going to a park, whatever it might be, setting aside some time to have some quality time to connect, look each other in the eyes, and just spend time together enjoying each other. those are some of my top tips to get started, so hopefully that's helpful. Okay, this next one is a really big one, and that is to get social media off of your phone, especially any notifications. So, I do not have a whole lot outlined in this area, and I'm really going to let the spirit just lead this conversation because I am super passionate, and you guys are going to hear me talk about social media and phones and everything that I have learned in my life in the past, I would say year especially, about all of this. I mean, I knew some of it, but what I have actively lived out in my life and the difference that I have seen in my own life personally. And I have so much to say on this. We could have like 5 episodes on this, so I'm not going to share all of it, but I do really want to encourage you to try getting social media off of your phone and turning notifications for all social media, for your email, anything that you're checking constantly, to get that off of your phone. Part of the reason I think that our brains can't turn off in culture today is because our phones and technology and social media won't let them turn off. We are being constantly bombarded with notifications from every app we have on our phone. We're constantly getting text messages from people. We are in such close communication with so many people in our world today that can get very noisy and very overwhelming very quickly. And it also can feel like you're almost on 24/7, because if you have all notifications on your phone and you're going throughout your day and you get to the end of the day where you are relaxing and then you get an email from a work client that needs help with something or that has a problem or you get some stressful situation in your inbox, suddenly you're right in that space. Even though you were not at work, whether you work from home or you don't work from home, whatever that is, you weren't at work, you were relaxing, you were with your family, suddenly you see this email and you're dealing with this work situation. Even if you're not responding right then, it's in your brain, you're stressed out about it, you're overwhelmed, you're trying to figure out how to solve the issue, right? Or you're going through your day, you're relaxing, and you get some Instagram messages and you need to respond to them, you need to get back to people, or you see this thing from this friend's life on Instagram and you want to reach out and talk to them about it, which is wonderful. I'm not saying anything. I think community is so important, connection with people is so important, but I'm just saying the influx of just noise and things from our phone screaming at us constantly means that our brain never gets a break. And especially if you are self-employed, which I know a lot of you are, and have some sort of business or side hustle that you're trying to grow, something like that, that you do from home and you work from home, these things are tied to you constantly. Your phone is always on your body, and so your brain literally can never shut off because you're constantly getting all of these notifications, you're scrolling through social media, you're seeing all the things that everyone else is doing, you're comparing yourself, being like, okay, I need to do this, I need to start this project, this is why I'm not hitting X, Y, and Z goal, I need to change this. Or even if you don't have a business, that same thing still applies. I know that even aside from my business, when I'm scrolling through social media, the comparison game is so real. I see other moms sharing about things that they've cut out that have really helped their kids, or I see them sharing about little, like, disciplined things that are really helping them as they go throughout their day, or little hacks for cleaning hacks, and it's like, oh my goodness, I've never cleaned that area of my home. I really need to get on that. Wow, what am I doing with my life? Or you see this person that's sharing how to talk to your kids, and you're like, oh, okay, I need to change how I say this specific thing to my kid, or I need to swap out this ingredient because it's going to cause, you know, cancer and all the other things, which I'm not saying I'm against that. I'm actually very much for all of those, you know, swapping things out and, you know, non-toxic living, all of that. But it's just an overload. It's just so loud in our brains. It's just constant. And it just feels like we are never doing enough and we can never know enough either. Like, that's a big thing too, is like, I constantly feel like I have to learn more and I have to research more and I need to educate myself so that I can fully make this decision to the best of my ability. And it's like, when does it stop though? Let me know if you guys would like a specific episode outlining exactly my social media journey, because I have had so many things in my brain that have told me, and people that have told me, that I need social media in order to thrive as a business owner. And I've kept that as a part of my identity for a long time. And I've lived a lot of my life on social media and wasted a lot of areas on social media. And my thoughts have completely changed. And it's been a whole journey and shift that the Lord has taken me on in the past year. And my priorities with social media are vastly different than they were even 6 months ago. Like, it has been a really cool journey. And if I would have heard this conversation telling me to get social media off of my phone 6 months ago, I probably would have thought they were crazy and told them, well, I always have to have social media because I'm running my business on there. I no longer believe that, and that's a whole separate thing, but whether you have a business or not, I'm just going to let you know, getting social media off my phone has allowed me to live my life in a way that I never imagined was possible. And keeping it off of my phone is so incredibly healthy for me. I will not lie to you. Social media, first of all, we know that social media is made to keep us addicted. The dopamine hit of scrolling and getting likes and notifications and all of that, but not even just the side of if you're posting content, but the side of scrolling. Like, you literally are made to go faster, 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 and our attention span is just getting shorter, and it is killing our brains. Like, it is not good for us at all. And once I started deleting social media off my phone, I started with just Sabbath, deleting it on for those 24 hours for Sabbath. Then I moved up to deleting it for the full weekend. Then I moved up slowly to deleting it every single day and only downloading it when I was going to go post my business things. And now I've kind of evolved even from there, and I probably will continue to evolve. But it is an addiction, guys. It really, really is for me. If I have social media on my phone, I'm not going to lie to you, I cannot, like, I go and find it. Even if I don't want to be on Instagram or whatever, I will grab my phone and suddenly I'm like scrolling through things. And now, granted, I catch it way faster than I did before. I literally would probably say a minute or less. I'm like, okay, I did not even get on to look at this. What am I doing? Like, and I get off and delete it. But wanting to touch your phone constantly, I don't know if you felt that, and maybe you think I sound crazy if you haven't, but wanting to touch your phone, grab it, like you put it in the other room and you're thinking about it and you're like, I want to go grab it, I need to check this notification, or wanting to use it to numb out, to avoid hard conversations. There is so much to this conversation, guys, and I clearly have a lot to say on this. The last thing that I want to share on this right now is just that one of the biggest lies that the enemy uses is the distraction or the lie that we have more time than we really do. Our time on this earth is very short and very limited. Our time with our children in our home with us, where we are the number one influence in their life, where we get to help, you know, shape their worldview, help them to learn all of these biblical values, lay that foundation for them growing into adulthood, is so fleeting. This time goes by so fast. And I know for me, like, I do not want to look back at this time and realize that I spent way more of it than I wanted to, looking at my phone, being distracted by what everyone else was doing in their life, than actually living my own. And I have found that social media specifically has been something that it is very easy to just lose track of the time and think that I'm just sitting down to relax and scroll through a few things and it's fun and, you know, it's community and I'm learning about other people's lives and I'm investing them and I'm making relationships, which are all good things. But if it's taking more of your time than you are comfortable with, if you take a really honest look at it, do you really want to spend however many hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours a day scrolling on this? And if you go look in your iPhone settings on your phone, you can see exactly how much time you spend doing these things. And it can escalate really quickly to a point that, I mean, even 2 hours a day, if you're not spending those 2 hours a day fully investing in your kids and doing the priorities that you have to do with them, do you want to be spending 2 hours on social media with people that you're not even doing life with every day face to face? A big convicting moment to me also was hearing someone else talk about how they didn't want their kids to remember them for the three words of saying just a minute. And that really hit home for me, because so often when I am distracted by doing things on my phone, it's really easy to tell my kids just a minute, just a minute, just a minute. And that's not what I want them to look back at their childhood and remember. Or let's say if something horrible or awful happened, and, you know, I passed away or something like that, I don't want my family to be at my funeral and be thinking about how I constantly just was telling them just a minute, you know? I know that's heavy, but that really did change my heart on a lot of things and started shifting my idea around how I spent my time, even when I thought that it wasn't that big of a deal. And now I see that it is a really big deal and it can escalate really quickly to a place that you didn't expect. I think the ultimate question to ask in this area to start thinking through is, are you stewarding social media well, or is it stewarding you? And really think through that and then think through what boundaries you want to put into place. And maybe your story is different than mine, and maybe you don't need it off your phone entirely. And if you have that self-control to not just scroll aimlessly for, you know, an hour when you plan to just sit down for 5 minutes or whatever that might be, then good for you. All the props to you, and, you know, keep going. But I think that it's good to at least stop and intentionally think through whether your priorities are in the right order in this area. Okay, that was a tangent. So clearly we need to have more episodes on that because there's so much to break down and unpack just in the social media and phone aspect alone. And I would love to know if that resonated with you or if you were encouraged by that at all, or I don't know, just if that hits you, because I'm feeling a little bit like maybe I'm the only crazy person that, you know, realizes that they actually were addicted to their phone, even though, you know, I know that these people that make the apps are paid, you know, billions and billions of dollars in order to keep us addicted. That's literally the point. It still feels a little, I don't know, I guess just weird to say out loud, and makes me feel like a little crazy to admit that out loud. But I also know that so many people struggle with it. And so I want to be that person to speak up and say, hey, I have been in this place and there's hope and we can change this. The third step that I want to talk about today in getting your brain to shut off and helping you find that rest and really just unplugging is building in a consistent end of day routine to signify to your body that it's rest time. So if you do work from home in any capacity, definitely create a specific end time to that work. That's something that I found. My entrepreneurship journey has had multiple different facets, but both when I was full-time in business and when I was working, you know, just in the cracks of my day at evening time and like after my kids went to bed and in the mornings, I need to have a specific end time so that I don't just continually work later and later, and so that my body kind of knows, okay, at this time we're done. Like, even if we don't accomplish everything on our to-do list, this is the time we're going to shut off and we're going to go to bed and we're going to wind down, because otherwise your work can really feel like it's just overflowing into every area of your life, and it's just, there's no routine, there's no consistency. It's just, you got to get done what needs to get done, and you just feel like you're living your life for your work, which I have been there. So that's a side note. But even if you don't work, this podcast is both for stay-at-home moms that don't work and for work-at-home moms. I think it can apply to both very well. So whichever camp you fall in, I think creating that end of day routine. So a few things that we do, we turn on the lamps in the evening, and that really helps just signify, okay, it's evening time. We're going to start winding down and resting. This helps with our kids. We do this before our kids go to bed. We also will put our phones away. Specifically, I try to put it away. I've gotten a little lax at this recently, but I try to put it away in a drawer so that I'm not even looking at it once I'm in the time of day where I'm doing like my winding down routine. Because again, I found that when I'm on my phone, I think that I'm resting, even if I'm not on social media, even if I'm doing other things and getting that accomplished, whatever, I think I'm resting, and then I don't feel rested at all. So I try to accomplish whatever needs to get done on my phone first, and then I'll just put it away in a drawer or plug it in, keep it on my nightstand where I'm not grabbing it, all of that. I'll go ahead and change into pajamas, which sounds very, very simple, but I found there were a lot of days that I was just falling asleep in the clothes that I was already in. And there is something, guys, about just changing into pajamas that makes you feel like your brain is just ready to relax. It knows it's nighttime, it's ready to calm down. And so even just not waiting to put your pajamas on until the second you go to bed, but putting them on when you're doing your nighttime routine, that made a big difference for me, of just telling my brain, okay, it's time to just unplug and relax. Washing your face, having a little routine around going to the bathroom, brushing your teeth, washing your face, doing a little skincare if you want to, and then just building in a little joy moment at the end of the day. So this could be like reading a book or watching a TV show with your spouse, even if it's just like 15 or 30 minutes. I have found that I really need that time to just have something to look forward to that really just brings me joy and is restful and relaxing and enjoyable to me. So building that into your day, building that little routine and rhythm to wind down slowly, helps so much when your brain will not unplug, because you can look forward to this time of day and you can start building that into your days. And it's like you're not just constantly going 24/7 anymore. It's going to take some time, it's going to take some practice to actually get into the habit of building this in. But having that little routine, knowing that you're going to have a time at the end of the day where you can just relax and have a few minutes to just breathe. You don't need to think about all the things that need to get done. You can just rest fully. Helps your mindset so much. Okay, as we wrap up this episode, I am really big on helping you actually take the action that you want to take, because I've been on the other side of this too many times, as I've shared before, where I listen to all the podcasts and I'm so inspired and encouraged and ready to take on the world. and then I take zero notes, I decide on zero actions to move forward, and I make zero progress. And I don't want that for you. You can listen to the absolute best educational and inspirational speeches in the entire world, but if you don't take any steps to actually apply anything to your own life, the impact ends there. That's why I created my entire course to walk you step by step through resetting the daily chaos and creating routine in your days as a stay-at-home mom with intentional rhythms to get more done and be more present. So if you want like the most hands-on laid out path you can have, definitely go jump into the course and get started today. But even if you're not ready to do that yet, I still want you to take action from this episode. Really think through what makes you feel the most rested and rejuvenated and add that into a small part of your daily routine. Come share that in my free Facebook group full of other like-minded women who also value slowing down, finding balance in managing all the things, and creating more peace and productivity in their days as a stay-at-home mom. I can't wait to see you in there. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode, and I can't wait to see you in the next one.
Leave Mama Blue. Peaky peas.
Hi friends, I have a really quick favor before you leave today. If this show has encouraged, blessed, or motivated you in some way, the number one way that you can let me know is by leaving a review over on Apple Podcasts. It seriously makes my entire day every time I hear from you and see a review. This is the only way that I actually know if you're liking the show. If you would take 30 seconds to do that for me, I would be so grateful. This helps get the show in front of more people to continue to grow and create more episodes just like this. If you enjoy the systems and rhythms I share here, I know you have friends who could use these systems and rhythms as well. You can also take a screenshot of this episode and tag me at KyenaMatt over on Instagram so I can share your account on my stories as well. The last thing you can do is join our totally free Facebook group to connect with the incredible community of like-minded mamas just like you and get first access to all the super top secret projects we have planned for the year ahead. I'll see you in there. Thanks so much for being here, and I can't wait to see you next week.